Morning, brothers and sisters. I'd like to ask each of you that has your Bible and your Book of Mormon to get them ready. I have a considerable amount of reading to do this morning, covering the scriptures on a specific subject that has to do directly to the welfare of our soul. I'd like to ask you a question as we gathered together here this morning, maybe even a couple questions before I get started. How many in this room believes that there is a Son of God, that He left the realms of heaven and come down and walked on the face of the earth to teach the children of men a way to come to the kingdom of Him and His Father? How many believe that? How many people here this morning believe that there was one who was disobedient and desired even that above the Father in heaven, that was cast down and one third of the host of angels to draw away your heart and your mind, and to deafen your ears, and to put scales in your eyes that you may not see, and to tamper with the hearts of the children of men, to turn them away that they might not see the light, even the Son of God, with sole desire to destroy the souls of the children of men, and the world calls him Satan and devil. How many believe that? How many of you feel that Satan has a desire to destroy your being? How many of you feel that? Very good. I'd like to start this morning. I'm going to do some comparing to a degree of the moving and the desires of the adversary and that of the difference in Christ, that we might see that there are two forces in the world, and when the Scripture says that the natural man is an enemy to God, we can begin to understand why. Because man as a whole is an unusual individual. I just heard part of Jay's remarks as I come in. I got in just a little late this morning, that I had an awful lot on my mind. And those things I have on my mind, you're going to hear this morning. But I got in here a little bit late, and he was talking about people and righteousness and mercy and judgment. He was talking about those things that come, that people, they don't want justice, they want mercy. And he's talking about people like you and I. Because man is sort of an unusual individual, and that is because man doesn't like to have somebody tell him what to do. Do they? You and I don't like to have the children of men, whether it's a mother trying to tell the children, or the father trying to tell the children, or a minister telling a congregation, or a sister trying to counsel a brother, or a brother trying to counsel a sister, or whether it's an employer trying to tell an employee. It's an odd thing about the nature of man. They don't like to be told what to do. None of the children of men, men or women, if somebody says you should so and so, immediately, he has no right to tell me what to do, and I'm not going to. Even if with inside you know that it's right. And you know all from the beginning of the generations of time when he says, thou shalt not eat of this tree, of all the other trees you can eat of in the garden, but of this tree thou shalt not eat of. Yet man could not stay hitched for that, could they? All from the beginning of time. If there's something that comes up that thou shalt not, or you should not do, or that you should do, man gets rebellious. We're rebellious individuals unless we listen to the whispering power of that of God And then we become meek and lowly in our heart, contrite, one who is ready to listen and to maybe take heed of the whisperings and of the leadings of the Spirit that would save the soul of the children of men. I'd like to start reading in Ephesians, and the scriptures I'm using today, I know you're going to think of a lot of others, but I'm going to go through just some, just because of brevity. Because the scriptures that God has been caused to be written by the inspiration and the power of the Holy Ghost, as holy men were moved, those scriptures that teach and lead and direct us to the full knowledge of the gospel of Christ and wherein that we must put our feet and where we should not put our feet. Oh, there is ample proof of wherein man should walk. There is none who has embraced and studied the scriptures that would have a hard time not knowing, had they studied the scriptures, well, not like Christ said, if you've read them, you do not understand them, but have studied them prayerfully, would not know the statute and the way that a man should walk. I'm not going to read about all the armor. I'm going to read there in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, and I'm going to start about in the 10th verse. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I want you to take notice that he says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against what power? The power of the adversary. That's the other individual, the other spirit that is very active and very powerful. Needless to say, to destroy the children of men, their souls. And if you don't think he isn't powerful, stop and look at the fulfillment of the scriptures, when justice shall sleep in the streets, that nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and the love of many shall wax cold. Look at the nation. Look at this nation. And you see the power of the deceiver. You see the strength that's within him to destroy the children of men and to lead them astray, and to cause them to walk in an improper manner. The same individual that from time to time touches us, you and I, and pacifies us, and like the scripture says, and lulls us away, to make reason within our hearts and mind to do that which violates the law of God. The same one that has the desire that you go with him, where there be the weeping and wailing throughout all eternity, and the gnashing of teeth. That same individual that is here day and night to find any crack in the armor that you allow him to have within you, to deceive, to lead astray, to deafen your ears to the voice of God, to cause that the vision of God within your heart and your mind and your soul to be dampened by the clouds of unrighteousness. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against power and against rulers and darkness of the world, against spiritual witnesses in high places. Okay, I'd like to ask you a question. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. How many times have you heard that scripture read? Lots of times. What does he mean when he says that you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities? The definition of principality is a territory ruled by a prince. A position, authority, or jurisdiction of a prince. Principalities. A jurisdiction ruled by a prince let's go over into the 12th chapter of St. John, and I'll read the 31st verse. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Who's the prince of this world? The devil. The old deceiver. The individual that laws the souls and the children of men away from the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ and teaches them the false doctrine that nations and multitudes will follow and deafens the ears to the still small voice that penetrates the heart who will listen, that teaches the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he is that individual. In Ephesians, the second chapter and the second verse, he says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedient. Yes, the children that now worketh in that of disobedient. Did we ever stop to think, what was it? Maybe I'm going to turn over there quickly in the fourth chapter of Matthew's. I told you to have your books ready for those who would like to follow along. And in the eighth verse there, it says, and again, and this is when Jesus was tempted by the devil, and again the devil taketh him up unto high and exceeding mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things I give unto thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. If thou wilt fall down and worship me. I wonder why the Apostle Paul says, be careful of those of principalities. Be careful of the prince that comes forth with strength and power to deceive, and of authority. And don't think that he doesn't have an authority, because he has. And don't think that he's lacking power. When we go into the many different things, remember we're told, and I'm not going to turn to the scriptures because I have much to bring to you. But in the Bible, it tells you that the devil shall come and stand before you as a light of an angel. Would you be deceived? The Book of Mormon says he shall come and he can stand before you not unto a light of an angel. You find that so often times of the wonders that he's done, just like when Aaron threw down his stay and it turned into a serpent, and he called in his sorcerers and they threw down their stay and they turned into a serpent and started crawling around. And if this congregation today was standing there looking before Pharaoh, what would you think? Which power would you take? Which power would you think was the greatest of power? Unless you endured, and unless you stayed there and saw the one that Aaron had cast down go around and eat up all the others. We are in battle daily, my lovely brothers and sisters, for the welfare of our soul. Each waking moment that we are awake, there is a battle within the individual between right and wrong. Each moment that we're awake, there is that battle within us of decision to whom we're going to serve. And there is a force, even that of Jesus Christ and of the power of the adversary, and they're pulling back and forth within the members and within the mind and the desires of the hearts of the children of men to either save or to destroy. Now you might say, I don't like that. Let's just turn it off. But it is a reality. And you're not going to turn it off. It's going to be with you as long as you draw breath. There will be decisions to be made. Decisions for God or decisions in your life against God. Those are decisions that we each have to make from time to time. I'd like to go over into the fifth chapter of Galatians. Some of these scriptures that I'm covering, in fact, the scriptures I'm covering, each of you in time past have read and used and talked about and discussed and looked over, but they're still valid and they're still beautiful to those who know and look after the gospel of Christ. I'm going into the fifth chapter of Galatians, and I'm going to read through the 13th through the 26th. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. I want you to take notice. You've seen two forces here, don't you? You see one force that says you're to love your neighbor. That's liberty. The other force says bite and devour your neighbor. I want to stand Jesus Christ on this side that you might view him. And I want to stand your adversary on this side that you might view him. And I call upon the knowledge that's within your minds, your ability to think. And I call upon you today as you view the two to choose and to know why you have made your choice. Let's go a little further. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one with another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, that's pretty direct. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh of the children of men has destroyed the souls of the children of men from the beginning of time, henceforth and forever. The lust of the flesh, the following the prince of the world, the principalities, the power that destroys the souls of the children of men, he who prances around like a young lion seeking whom he may devour, this one on this side, to devour you, to devour me, to destroy our souls. And he's very active, very quick, very smart. He's a lot smarter than the average bear. He's a lot smarter than the average individual. He's a lot smarter than we that sit in this room. And you say, hey, not so, Brother Yates. Boy, he's not smarter than I am. Oh, no. How many times have we been deceived? How many times have we walked opposite of the gospel of Jesus Christ knowing that we're walking in a way we have no right to walk? But yet we will pacify and lull away our conscience to be able to walk after the manner that suits the flesh and the carnal desires within our hearts. Yes, the nations of the world is deceived by that power, but not only the nations. And how many times have we cried about the fact that even the bride of Christ so oftentimes is deceived by that same power to be led by the carnal mind of the children of men rather than the Spirit of God to direct, that they would walk and dictate and walk in an improper manner before his holy throne. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Let's listen to the works of the flesh. Let's listen to the works that this guy here is going to sell you. Let's listen to him. Let's listen to the work that this fellow over here is going to try to whisper in your heart and mind and tell you somehow why you should accept it. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Would you pause for a minute and look at the nation? Would you pause for a minute and look at the bride of Christ? Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, I'm not a very good artist, but I believe that I'm talking to a group of people, brothers and sisters, who have the ability to think. And in that ability to think, view the world situation today. View sometimes the body of Christ today. And see if it is not worked and run by that power of the carnal ways of life. Look at it. This individual has done his work great, hasn't he? He hasn't slacked off on anybody, has he? Not only in the world, but yes, even within the realm of the body of Christ. Because it's oftentimes that we go someplace, we find that they bite and devour one another. We find the very attributes of this individual to destroy the souls of the children of men. The master of darkness seems to rule within the hearts and the minds of the children of men rather than he of love and of power and of might. But the fruits of the Spirit, now we're going to talk about the fruits of the master of man. He says the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. One that's over here doesn't backbite. The one that's over here is gentle, long-suffering, patient, loving. Oh, there is sort of a difference between the two forces on this earth, isn't there? And you know an odd thing about it? That the one that's over on this side, if you and I possess it in your heart and in mind, are we aware of the fact that then comes a life more abundant? Then comes the peace, not as the world give I unto you, but the peace of the spirit and of mind and of the soul, and then it turns you free. And if you're over here, you're in bondage. And you're laden down with cares and heartaches and trials and tribulations and fears. By this individual here. And hatred and backbiting. Oh, there's quite a difference between the two, isn't there? Quite a difference between the two that you and I have to make a choice of. Quite a difference between those two that we see standing before us. Yes. Let's go a little further here. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of lust and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envy one another. And he even tells us how to go about curing our problems if we've tied in with this guy over here and carrying these burdens. Yeah, he even tells us how to go about curing the problem. That we can have the peace of mind, of the sound mind and love, and not a spirit of fear, but of victory. He tells us of the difference. And he tells us how to find those things that we might be able to teach and direct them in the way that we should go. Now I want to go back, and I want to read a little further, and I want to make some more comment there in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Okay? against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. The rulers of darkness. You know, when we begin to talk about the rulers of darkness, we have a lot to be said. Maybe I should start in the 3rd chapter of St. John and about the 19th verse. And this is the condemnation, that light, this light here on this side, so you can see. So you have the vision. To see the truth. That you don't wander about. How many times have you been out wandering about without a flashlight and you bump into stuff, step on a cactus, stub your toe on a rock, hit the chair in the living room? That this light gives you the vision to see wherein that you must put your feet, that set it in the path that goes along the edge of the rod of iron, even that word of God, that we must hold to. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Yeah, they'd be scolded for it. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Isn't that the truth? You ever see somebody that's doing something that they're not supposed to do? You ever notice how they hide and sneak around? Well, when somebody has to begin to hide and sneak around in their actions, they better stop and take course of where they're going, and they better ask themselves, what am I doing? Because those things that are true and in the light are above board, and they want them to be because they glorify their Father which is in heaven. And when we begin to move in a direction that we feel like that I've got to hide from my sister Donna, or that I've got to hide from my brother Jay, or I've got to slip around him behind the chicken house and the barn from my brother Gary, then I better take stock of Hubert Yates, because what I have to do should be open and above board for all the nations of the world to see, for I should choose the light and not the darkness that sets me free and gives me the right to walk in such a manner that I glorify my Father which is in heaven, and that I am set upon a mountain, that they will know that I have chosen the Lord God Almighty as my Master. And not this one that puts the burdens on the hearts of the souls of the children of men and destroys them. But those who walk in Christ, what do they have to hide? Those who walk in Christ are willing and ready to proclaim and tell anyone why they have the hope that's within them, because they walk with a peace of heart and of mind. And they walk with a strength that comes not by the will of the flesh and the power of pressing the iron, but it comes by the will that comes within that individual's heart to find his needs and approach the source of power on this earth, even Jesus Christ. That gives him that strength to walk, and gives him the strength to have the vision to see wherein that they must go and the things that they must do. This is that strength and power that comes unto the children of men. That power and that light is a promise of God the Father to those who chooses that love and joy and peace and happiness rather than adultery and fornication and backbiting and whispering and lying and deceiving and sneaking about, labeling upon the hearts and the souls of the children of men a burden that becomes so strong it's impossible to bear. That's this individual that labels those burdens that are impossible to bear. I'd like to turn to 1 John. I'd like to go over to the third chapter of 1 John. And now I'm going to read in the second chapter. I'm going to start in the 12th verse. And I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Boy, isn't there a lot of times we wish that he could say that to us? That I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning, and have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Yes, that old world and this guy here, he hangs before the children of men, that lust, and that pride, and the desires of the heart. And this one over here, the long-suffering, and the forgiveness, and the love, and the peace, and the gentleness, and the kindness, and the light. And this one over here, the darkness. The darkness that pervades the souls and the eyes and the heart of the children of men, that they become hard and turn away from God. I'd like to turn to, on page 122 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read the 90th verse there. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, that put this man here for light, that calls evil good or the good evil, and light for darkness, that puts bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I read that scripture for a specific reason, that we might understand that they don't go together, that they are separate, that they are separate, very much so. They're not sweet and bitter. They're not darkness and light. You don't see them both together, do you? They don't go together. They don't even walk in the same path. They don't want to walk in the same path, because one walked with a desire to be obedient to his Father in heaven, into keeping his commandments. And the other was rebelling against the Father in heaven and wouldn't keep his commandments. They don't walk side by side. They don't come together. They're not amalgamated. They don't come together at all. Which means that we can't walk holding on to each other's hand and think everything's all right. I can't hold on to this guy's hand, and I can't hold on to this one's hand. I'm going to have to make a choice which hand I'm going to hold on to. Which one? On which side I'm going to hold to? I've got to make that choice. That's what I said in the beginning, that every waking moment of your life is a time of choice. And of the choosing that is done by you and I has to do with what kind of outpouring of the Spirit of God comes upon us. If we want to completely and constantly, willfully disobey God, say what we want to, we lessen the Spirit of God to be with us and direct us. To that degree, we shut down the voice of God to speak to us. And we can lull and pacify our souls and our minds and say, well, it's just a little thing. But you're still shutting out the light of God. I want you to take a look at this, and it's on a rheostat. Look, see that? You see the difference? Okay? Every time that we yield, we get a little dimmer in the light, and a little dimmer in the light, and a little dimmer until it's out. If we want the Spirit of God to remain with us and to direct us with power and authority, then we've got to walk like we believe we want it and like we know we want it. Because when we continue to walk in an unrighteous manner as an individual or a body of people or as a world, we see the absence of God in the world, don't we? Because they're not walking after God. They're not walking after God. And if it wasn't the absence of God, then you'd see peace and harmony and love. And you wouldn't see some little old kid there with his belly all popped out, starving to death. And you wouldn't see a nation destroying food to keep up the prices. That's because they've made their choice. And that's because we have to make our choice. Now I'd like to turn over to page 145 in the Book of Mormon. Now we're going to read through the 75th through the 77th verses there. And they sell themselves for naught, for the reward of their pride and their foolishness, they shall reap destruction. You know, we can say we're talking about those people back there that really turned against God, and they really pulled some shenanigans, and they reap destruction, and one thing and another, and this doesn't touch our life because we don't have any pride. No, we don't have any pride, and boy, we certainly aren't foolish. Not us. We wouldn't be foolish. No, not us at all, because we've got it right there. You know, young people, I used to believe that I had it right there too. And I thought that some of the decisions, the spiritual decisions that I received from my parents and from my dad was sort of, you know, hey, he's not up on it today. You know, the teaching there, he's just trying to hold me back and he's trying to keep me from having fun. But it's an odd thing after I went to the service and I walked in the old world for 4 years. I'll tell you what, the wisdom that my dad had in 4 years surprised me. Because when I got home, oh, how much smarter he was. He sure learned a lot in 4 years. Because you know something, the things he said was in the old world was there. The things he says look out for was there. The thing that he instructed me was true, but I wasn't sharp enough in my foolishness to lay hold to him. I might bring to your attention, though we travel in different manners, in airplanes and rocket ships, and though we travel on motorcycles and bicycles and all kinds of things, and not chariots, and maybe not burros, and maybe not horses and oxen and stuff like they did in the olden days, but this is one promise I can give you, that from the beginning henceforth and forever, sin has been sin. Adultery has been adultery. Fornication has been fornication. Bearing false witness has been bearing false witness. Stealing has been stealing, and murdering has been murdering, and backbiting has been backbiting. There has not, I don't care if this old world goes on until the 50th century, the Word of God shall remain direct and true forever. And each one that was sin then is sin today. It hasn't changed one whit. Maybe your form and your mode of living and the type of thing that you have, such as electric dishwasher and a refrigeration unit. Some of us don't have. But whatever the case may be, the law of God shall stand forever, and like Peter said, and this is the gospel which was preached unto you, that from the beginning henceforth, clear down to the period of time, that all men that are to be born upon the face of this earth, of the whole human family of Adam, there will be two sources that they've got to make a decision from. And one is righteousness and the other is sin. And one is life and the other is death. Seventy-sixth verse. For because they yield unto the devil, they chose works of darkness rather than light. Therefore they must go down to hell, for the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then cometh speedily destruction, and this grieveth my soul. You see, our early brothers and sisters and those people that were there at that particular period of time, they had the same trouble you and I do. And that trouble that they had is that they had to choose who they were going to serve that day. And you and I have got to choose whom we're going to serve this day. And oh yes, according to the calendar, it was a different dispensation of time, but He still heals the sick, He still causes the blind to see and the lame to walk, and He still has the power to reach out through the grace and the power of God and cleanse the souls of the children of men. And to lift them up and to give them hope that they would walk with their eyes single to the glory of God. That they would walk with that strength and power that can come through and by the will of God the Father. I'd like to read in John. After there, I want to read the 42nd through the 44th, I think. And Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Even because you cannot hear my word. I want you to know that in Isaiah, what does he tell you? He says, if it's not according to the law and the testimony, there's no light on that side in them. If it's not according to the law and the testimony, there's no light in them. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I wonder who he's talking about. Who's a liar and the father of it? And because I tell you the truth, ye believe it not. Why, sure we know who's the liar and the father of it. The same individual that has a desire to burden your soul, to whisper sweet little things in your ears, to get you to go away in your own foolishness and the avenue of pride, and to walk opposite of Jesus Christ, and to do those things and pacify and lull your soul that it's all right. That individual, that father of lies, that individual that is so quick to go and to teach you of things that you have no business knowing nor of doing. I'd like to turn over on page 735 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read 99 through 101. For it cometh to pass that whosoever buildeth it up seeketh to overthrow the freedom of all nations, all lands, nations, and country. And it bringeth to pass the destruction of all people, for it is built up by the devil, who is the father of all lies, even that same liar who beguiled our first parents, yea, even that same liar who has caused man to commit murder from the beginning, who hath hardened the hearts of men that they have murdered the prophets and stoned them and cast them out from the beginning. The father of lies. Let's take a look at the father of lies. How many, I've lost track. How many different affiliations is there across the nation? Teaching different doctrines for the light of Christ. One of them I heard our sisters talking about here a few weeks ago. Like Jones, like the individual that took and led away groups of people down into South America and destroyed their souls and also their physical being. Why is it? Why is it that the children of men will hunger and thirst and gobble up the father of lies and allow the light in the life of the children of men and the truthfulness to go unheard and unseen within them? Why is it? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why is it that you can go and preach the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ and the salvation, and they'll turn it off, but they'll run at the man of darkness and listen to the enticing and the whispering with his ears of those things that are not of God and follow after him? Why is it? Why is it that the multitude lends an ear to the one that burdens a soul rather than set the captives free? But all over the nations of the world, they run with an ear tuned to those who have false doctrine, and that they have itchy ears to listen, to be directed and taught of the opposite gospel unto salvation, and to follow thereafter even unto death. Constantly we see it throughout all the earth. And yet when you proclaim the truth to them, they turn you off. And like Brother Jay said today when I come in, I just heard part of the conversation. He says they will be mad at you and will want to persecute you, because you have taught the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you better believe it. Because the world as a whole has listened to the man of darkness, the world as a whole has been led by this animal and beast, as the scripture calls him, that destroys the souls of the children of men. They lend an ear to that voice rather than to the voice from on high, and they go with their eyes closed rather than with their eyes seen in the light of Christ. And they partake constantly of those things as a multitude of nations and generations of peoples. Why is that? Why is it? Why is it that he has laid before us in simplicity such a beautiful gospel in the way and the life? The nations of the world and those about you, yea, even within the family realms of husband and wife and children, a separation in the truthfulness of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because man walks foolishness. He walks with pride. He walks in a manner that nobody's going to tell me what to do. I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do as I please. And they pacify and lull their souls away that they might take of the frills of the world. And they moth and pacify themselves because they follow along with the multitudes. Oh, look out for the multitudes. The multitudes through all the periods of time, except right here on this earth when all this nation here was full and under the power of God for that 200 years. In every other place in the scriptures, the multitudes of the whole turned out the word of God and would not be receptive and turned him off and walked their own way. And we're living in a world today that is of no exception. That's why the crime rates and the things that have come upon this nation today is coming with such power. Because they're listening to the father of lies. They're listening to him who has the power to deceive the children of men and have been from all generation to all generation. And he isn't somebody that's a fantasy. He's not a farce. He's a reality that touches and destroys the souls of the children of men. And his word is canker and mold and destroying the souls of the children of men. And he's very much a reality. And sometimes he's very much a reality in your life and mine. Why I'm in John, I'm going to bring you a difference. A father of lies. I want you to look at this father of lies. The father that tells you opposite things. The father that tells you there is no God and that there is no devil. The individual that just slowly draws you down until you're chained and bound and there's no deliverance. That puts the cord around your neck and just leads you along. This father of lies. Now I want you to look at him. He's here. Now I'm going to read to you what this one is over here. I want to turn in the 14th chapter of St. John. I'm going to read in the 16th and the 17th verses. And I will pray unto the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Would you look at that? This one over here is the father of lies, and this one here is the Spirit of truth. Oh, what's the matter with the vision of the children of men that they can't see the Spirit of truth? That they can't see the light? Why do they keep listening and looking at the father of lies? But this one over here is the Spirit of truth. Oh, hey, that is just as much difference as daylight and dark, isn't it? A spirit of truth and a spirit of lies and the father of them. Yes, two individuals that are scrabbling for your souls. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth within you, and he shall be in you. 25th verse, these things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things in your remembrance whatsoever I have given unto you. All things. He shall teach all things whatsoever he has given unto them. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Oh boy, isn't that a difference? Wouldn't you say that's a difference? Wouldn't you say it's a difference? If somebody's telling you the truth and if they aren't telling you the truth, what do you think about it, Brother Polly? There's a difference, isn't it? You better believe it. There's a great difference. Okay, if there's such a difference, how come the world looks at this one here rather than this one over here? Why? Why will they take darkness rather than light? Why will we sometimes listen to His whisperings rather than the Spirit of truth that bears witness in that conscience? Why? Why do we decide to walk in our own will? In the second book of Nephi, yes. You're right. Thank you, Evelina. You're right. That's just exactly what the scripture says. It says, because their deeds are evil. And I think I already read that. If I haven't, I'm going to, well, I don't know whether I'm going to get to it or not. But I've got some other things here that I feel like that I was moved to bring out this morning. And I'd like to have you turn over to page 85 in the Book of Mormon. And I'm going to read on page 85, 101 through 103. And I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that the angel of God, according to that which is written, hath fallen from heaven. Wherefore he become a devil, having sought that which is the evil before God, and because he hath fallen from heaven and hath come miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind. He sought misery for you, Mother, and for you, Ed, and for you, Michelle, and for me, and for everyone that's within the sound of my voice, and everyone that's born of the whole human family of Adam. He has sought misery, burdens of the heart and of mind, and destruction of the soul. That's his main purpose, is to destroy our soul. He has sought that. Let me go to page 39. I want to read on page 39, 214 through 216. For the time cometh, saith the Lamb of God, that I will work a great and a marvelous work among the children of men, a work which shall be everlasting, either on one hand or the other, either to the convincing them of peace and of life eternal, or to the deliverance of them to the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their mind, unto them being brought down into the captivity and also unto destruction, both temporally and spiritually, according to the captivity of the devil of which I have spoken. Yes, of which he has spoken, that they would be brought down. Now let's go to page 32. I'm going to read there on page 32, and we'll read 124 through 126. And the angel spake unto me, saying, behold, the fountain of filthy waters, which the Father saw, yea, even the river of which he spake, are the depths thereof, are the depths of hell. And the midst of darkness are the temptations of the devil, which blindeth the eyes and hardeneth the hearts of the children of men, and leadeth them away into broad roads, that they may perish and are lost. Yes, it blindeth the eyes and leadeth them away, that they are lost. And you know, my lovely brothers and sisters, I see a group of people before me that I feel like is one of the most solid groups that's on the face of this earth today. Yet I also know that in our humanism, if we aren't careful, our eyes can be blinded, and we can listen to the whisperings of the multitudes, and we can shut our eyes to the light, and we can walk after the improper teachings and the lies of the power of He who is the master of lies and master of deceivers and the father thereof. We're no exception. You're no exception. Only thing about you is that he would rather turn your heart and your mind than Charlie Brown across the street because you have embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a feather it is in his cap when you have once seen the light to destroy it and to snuff it out. That's a feather in his cap when he can snuff out that light and cause that the light shall not be seen. If we were to turn over in the 7th chapter of Matthew, and I'm not going to do it, what does he tell us? He tells us broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the way to life. And few there will be that shall find it. Does that mean the world's going to take it? On page 154 in the Book of Mormon. On page 154 in the Book of Mormon, I want to read the 23rd, the 24th. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must need be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. Isn't that what our brother said today? That's what I heard when I came in, that he will stir them up against that which is good. Is that not true? Do you know that those who believe in the Book of Mormon is a cult? Do you know that wherever you work for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you're out of order and have been for those who teach good? You see these things and they come about continually. I'm going to skip some of this, but I want to read in the 4th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi, page 626, I believe it is. And this is a terrific, to me, this is a terrific example of the one that's on this side and the one that's on that side. I'm going to read the 26th and 27th verse, and it came to pass that there was a voice heard among the inhabitants of all the earth and upon all the face of this land, crying, woe, woe unto this people, woe unto the inhabitants of the whole earth, except they shall repent. For the devil laugheth, and his angels rejoice, because of the slain of the fair sons and daughters of my people, and it is because of their iniquity and abominations that they are fallen. How many times in our life has the devil had the right to laugh and his angels rejoice? How many times in the decisions that you and I have made would cause him to sneer like Joel saw when we knelt down the night of the calling to those 6 apostles, and he knelt down and he saw the devil's face before him laughing? How many times by the decision and our wayward ways have we caused him to laugh and the angels rejoiced because we followed not the gospel of Jesus Christ? Isn't that something? How that he would laugh and how they would have great joy and one thing and another. Turn over to page 183. I'm going to try to run quickly, so please forgive me. And I want to read on page 183, I want to read the 88th and the 89th verses. He says, and the wild fruit of the last had overcome the part of the tree which brought forth good fruit, even that the branch had withered away and died. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard, which is Jesus Christ, he wept. He wept. He didn't laugh and snicker. He wept.
where the compassion, where the love, the true love is at. He wept and said unto his servant, what could I have done more for my vineyard? Oh, what a bright difference. One laughing and rejoicing because they fell, and another weeping and saying, oh, what more could I have done for my vineyard? Those two forces and power are still here. They're still here. And they're at your disposal just as equally as they're at mine. And it was at those individuals that were there at the time. It's the same thing. In Luke 19, 41st verse. And when he was come near unto behold the city, he wept over it. Different, isn't it? If thou hast known, even thou, at the least of this the day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. But he wept over the city. We know that he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I have gathered you as a hen would gather a chick, and ye would not. Isn't that just a little bit different than somebody over here laughing and snaring? And saying, ha, 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 I tempted you now. Now you're going to lose your soul. Are we aware of the fact that we are in a war? We're in a war constantly. A war that keeps going continually. And it will from now on. And we're in a war that we're going to have to make up our mind. Just whose side and what general is going to be our general, and we're going to have to make up our mind concerning those things to who we will have to be our general. Listen. Listen to the words of a general and tell me which side is it on. Thank you, honey. I'm reading on page 652. 51st verse. For Satan desireth to have you. Oh, what voice of what general saying that? Satan desireth to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. We could turn right over to the 14th chapter of the second book of Nephi, and I'm not going to turn to it, but he tells you that the spirit of the devil teaches a man that he should not pray, but I say unto you that ye must pray and pray always, and that you're to not perform anything, save in the first place you pray unto the Father, that it may be consecrated and for the welfare of your soul. To be blunt, I haven't covered all the scriptures that I have. But to be blunt, one of them's for the purpose of saving your soul into a good place with the Father in heaven, and the other's for the purpose of destroying it. That's his whole desire, is to destroy your soul. And we can come here day after day and go out and go to isolated people, and we can do anything we want to. We've got to make a choice in our life whom we're going to serve, and we've got to know that they are two different, distinct individuals, and their attributes and their teachings are just as much different as daylight and dark. And it makes you wonder, why is it that people can't see the love and the truth? Why? Why is it that they can't see the light? We're told that the light upon a mountain can be seen way far away. But yet the multitudes of nations have turned their eyes away from the light upon the mountain and have turned their back, and they stumble down the pathway that leads in all different directions unto destruction. Alicia just brought this up to me, and it says, what path? What path is it you're walking? Is it the one you should trod? Is it ever leading, always upward, unto God? Or do you serve another, whose pathways are always down, until within his darkness, finally you are bound? Escape does not come easy, so open up your eyes. For one is always truthful, but the other always lies. Always be obedient. Know he loves you true. For if you fail to do so, the other waits for you. Remember now, my brethren, and lean on him today. Build on his foundation, and safely you will stay. Did you write that, son? Thank you. Those are my closing remarks.